Amen, amen. Thank God for a crowd. Amen. Boy, if I had a crowd like this back when we was picking cotton, we could have picked 50 bales a day. Amen. All right. I'm delighted to be here. I love to come to this meeting. Love you. Thank God for every one of you. Yes. There are no people like God's people. Yeah. Oh, I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. Sure do. Love every one of you. Well, I was in a meeting over here back in March. I believe it was over around Murrayville, Georgia, preaching in a camp meeting. Brother Joe Chancey from Waycross, Georgia, good man, told this joke, and I just got to tell you. And but he said one day, well, let me back up a minute. Some of you have seen them old westerns where them cowboys and Indians, they would be fighting it out, you know, be at war. And you've seen those Indians lay on the side like that and put their head against the ground to hear that cavalry when it was coming. Well, this cowboy came up on this Indian. He was laying there on his side like that, and his head was against the ground. He overheard that Indian say, "One wagon, one man, one woman, two children." Cowboy said, "How do you know all that? You mean you hear all that?" And the Indian said, "Nope. They ran over me with that wagon 2 hours ago." Where'd I put my handkerchief at? All right. You see a handkerchief back there? I'm missing my handkerchief. Okay. Of course, I'm sure I won't need it. No, I got some somewhere here. I tried to fill this coat. Here, I got it. I tried to fill his coat up because I knew we'd need them there too, right there. All right. Amen. And they got my water up here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I've been over there drinking Gatorade that one of the good men here gave me, and drinking water, and none of your business what else I was drinking. No, I'm joking. No, I'm joking. Oh, man. Well, my heart does good like a medicine. I'm not going to ask you to stand for the reading of the Word of God because I want to read from three different places. Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. I begin reading with verse 18. "And Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch." Now notice that name, Enoch. "And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died." How would you like to live that long? Nearly 1,000 years. Pow. Verse 21. "And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah." Now notice Enoch is the one who begot Methuselah. Verse 22. "And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech." Now notice Methuselah was 187 years old when Lamech was born. All right, verse 26. "And Methuselah lived after he begot Lamech 782 years and begot sons and daughters." And then now notice verse 27. "And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died." This is the oldest This man lived the longest of any recorded man in the Bible or outside the Bible that we know of. 969 years old. Now, verse 28. And Lamech lived 182 years and begot a son. And he called his name Noah. So now Lamech was 182 years old when Noah was born. Keep that in mind. Then the Bible says, and he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. Now you can turn over to the book of Hebrews and we'll find some more scripture on Enoch. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and 6. And Enoch was translated that he should not see death. If Jesus were to come right now, that would happen to every one of us is saved. It's gone just like that. Translate. And he was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. One more passage. Turn to the little book of Jude. Jude. Just before the book of Revelation. Jude 14 and 15. One chapter. And Enoch, there's that name again. And Enoch also the seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against hell. I'll lead us in a brief word of prayer and I'm going to bring the message. You pray in your heart as a prayer audibly. Ask God to speak. Only God can make this service what it ought to be. But I'm preaching with the help of God this evening on Enoch walk with God. I hope you're interested in that. Enoch walk with God. Let's pray. God, our Father and our God which art in heaven, God, thank you for the privilege to be here. Thank you, you're here. Thank you, God, for your presence. Thank you, God, for the reality of God. God, you ever think, God, the Bible says you. You're great and greatly to be praised. How great. How great are. Thank you, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Take unto thee, Lord Jesus, thy great power and reign. Reign in this service. Reign in our hearts. Reign in our homes and our churches and our nation. God, in Jesus' name, again I pray. Please send mighty revival to the churches of America. In Jesus' name. God, please save the millions in our country lost without God going to hell. Give us a greater burden, a greater love for lost souls. Please give Jesus souls for our labor. Father, if there's one here lost this evening, God save that soul right here to see. Thank you for those that's been saved recently, God. God, I pray in Jesus' name, please say to everybody come this evening and get spiritual help. Make the spiritual needs of everyone here. Father, thank you for my pastor. Bless as he comes. Use him might. God, I pray in Jesus' name, do what God is no problem for you. God, I pray to run the temperature down. God, in Jesus' name, cool it off this week. Thank you, God. You hear that to prayer. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Thank you, God. Thank you. Pray, God, for those that are sick. God, that different ones here are related to. Heal them according to your will. Oh, God. We pray especially this evening for Miss Testner. God, please heal her. You're able, God. Job said, thou canst do everything. God, please heal. Heal Brother Tommy Turner's wife. Please, God. Thank you, God, for healing Brother Kerrigan. Thank you, Jesus.
God, you sure are good to us. God, you're so good to us. I think our times in your hands went good hands. Thank you, God. Good hands. The hands of God. Come, Holy Ghost. Now fill me to double portion of thy spirit for just a little while. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Enoch walked with God. I'm going to share about six thoughts with you and let you go. I want us to notice, first of all, this evening, who walked with God. Secondly, what does it mean to walk with God? Thirdly, when did Enoch walk with God? Fourthly, why did Enoch walk with God? Fifthly, how did Enoch walk with God? Last of all, what was the results of Enoch walking with God? So we notice, first of all, who walked with God. Notice the Bible tells us in verse 22, and Enoch walked with God. Verse 24, and Enoch walked with God. Then notice the Bible says in chapter 6, verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Who walked with God? Well, there's one thing for sure, these two men did, because this Bible is inspired of God, and God is never going to put a lie. God never put a lie in this book. So if God said that Enoch walked with God, he walked with God. If God said Noah walked with God, he walked with God. See? But here's what I want you to get. These men walked with God when they didn't have near the light that you and I've got. They were on that side of the cross. We're on this side of the cross. And Enoch and Noah walked with God, and they did not have a Bible. They didn't have one verse of Scripture. We're without excuse. We've got 66 books here in this King James Bible. And this Bible expressly tells you and I how to walk with God. Tells us exactly how to walk with God. We've got far more light. Furthermore, under the old economy, in that Old Testament, the Spirit of God came basically upon the believers. But now the Spirit of God comes in the believer. Oh, we got somebody inside of us hold us bigger than the devil on outside. I mean, God on inside of us is bigger than sin, Satan, self, the system of this world, the whole nine yards. Glory. Even in these last days, we can walk with God if you want to bad enough. If you want to. So who walked with God? Secondly, what does it mean to walk with God? Well, first of all, of course, it means to be saved. There's no way in the world you can walk with God until you're saved. Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And Paul said in Romans 8, they that be in the flesh cannot please God. And in context, that's talking about lost people. They that are in the flesh. Talking about lost people. See, for years and years, I thought that was talking about saved people getting in the flesh. And sometimes we get in the flesh. You become angry, lose your temper. You're getting the flesh saved. But when the Bible says they that are in the flesh cannot please God, they're talking about lost people. There's no way in the world a man, woman, boy, or girl can walk with God until they're born again. Amen. Until they're saved by the grace of God. See? The Bible says, can two walk together except to be agreed? See? And there's no agreement between a lost sinner and God. None whatsoever. None at all. The Bible says, for when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. In other words, before we got saved, we were not the friends of God. We were the enemies of God. See? So Jesus meant what He said when He said what He did. Ye must be born again. See, I joined the church, was baptized when I was about 10. Nothing happened to me. When I was 20 years old, God put me on under old-time Holy Ghost conviction. I hit the altar, repented of my sin, and received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I was saved. I knew the split second that God saved my soul. Saved. Yes. We that are saved have passed from death unto life. Saved. So we can't walk with God until we're saved. I remember trying to walk with God before I got saved. Boy, you're talking about a mess. Now, I remember before I got saved, I told everybody, said, I'm going to be a preacher. What in the world made me do that? I don't know. Because I wasn't even saved back then. And our pastor took me up on it. He said, Brother Taylor's going to preach Sunday night. My heart went up my throat. And I got up and I tried to preach, but I made one of the biggest messages you ever seen, and I'm not exaggerating. I went and sat down, and I'm going to tell you what, I quit the ministry. I quit. Really, I didn't preach anymore until I got saved. I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to be around preachers. Trying to preach before I got saved, it made an infidel out of me. And that's the honest truth. I got to where I hated preachers, hated the church, see. Hated the things of God. And I started running as hard as from God as I could, but thank God He outran me. Amen. 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 Thank God He caught me and He saved my soul. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, thank the Lord. Amen. Glad I'm saved. What does it mean to walk with God? First of all, it means to be saved. Secondly, it means to be in fellowship with God. You got to be not only saved, but in fellowship with God to walk with God. There's no way in the world you and I can walk with God if we're out of fellowship with God. See, the word fellowship means to have in common. And thank God, we that are saved have a lot in common with God. Woo! The Bible tells us in 2 Peter 1:4 that we're partakers of His divine nature. We got the very life of God in us. So we have something in common with God. Yes, amen. Thank the Lord. I'm telling you, to be in fellowship with God's one of the most sweetest things on earth. The most miserable person in the world is not necessarily a lost person, although they're lost. The most miserable person in the world is a backslider. A person who's out of fellowship with God. Have known the joy of the Lord and the joy of salvation. Have known the presence of God and enjoy the presence and reality of God, and then to lose that, friend, that's misery. Any backslider is miserable. But I'm glad you can get back right with God. Jesus loves you. 1 John 1:9 is telling the Bible, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God that blood shall never, never, never lose its power. That blood speaking on our behalf right now while we're having this service. Glory, glory for the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. So it means to be saved. It means to be in fellowship with God. Then it means to be in step with God. You can't walk with somebody if you're not in step with them. If I were to say, Brother Phillips, let's take a walk down this river down here and back. Well, we couldn't walk together if I'm 40, 50 yards ahead of him or 40, 50 yards behind him. We have a tendency to either run ahead of God or run behind him. Like behind him, see. Instead of walking with God. I think a superlative example of what I'm talking about, Simon Peter. Simon Peter seemed like he had a hard time staying in step with the Lord. Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane. He told his disciples, said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. But instead of watching and praying, Simon Peter went to sleep. And then when Judas and that band of soldiers came to arrest our Lord, the Bible tells us that Simon Peter grabbed the sword, pulled it out, and I think he meant to cut Michael's head off, but he got just his ear. And part of what happened is he probably did like that. Tried to duck and he just barely got his ear. But you know what Jesus said? He said, put up thy sword in thy sheath. They that live by the sword shall die by the sword. See, he was always running behind or running ahead of the Lord. See. Then when they arrested Jesus and headed for Caiaphas' palace, for that long trial. The Bible tells us that Peter followed a fault. So now he's once again lagging behind. See, we have a tendency to do the same thing, run ahead or run behind. See, I remember back yonder probably 30 years ago or longer, you know, most all of us, when we get saved, us young preachers, we have more zeal than knowledge. I think of Jehu who said, "Come and see my zeal for the Lord." I like that. But anyway, coming back where we were. I never forget, I was sitting in a service back in those days. And this pastor, he was a friend of mine, so he didn't mean no harm. He was just telling the truth anyway. But I was sitting there on, I think, the front pew, and he told that whole congregation. He said, now remember, this was around 30 years ago or longer. He said, all God had to do is just crack the door and Brother Taylor, push it on open. And I thought, boy, he has described me to a T. But I hope I ain't like that anymore. I got too many wrinkles and got the mumps and measles and so forth and so on, if you please. I'm not pushing any doors open now, but I'm glad they're still open. Don't misunderstand me, and I'll pray about that. I'm telling you what, it ain't like it used to be physically. These old bodies are going down. Then I heard, next of all, that denotes progress. See, it didn't say Enoch sat down with God. No. It said Enoch walked with God. I think a lot of us Baptists think that that's what it means, sat down with God. See, sat on a stool or do nothing. Warm a spot on the pew. No, that's not the Christian life. To walk with God denotes progress. You're going from one place to another. See, yes, amen. See, the Bible says with a quote, a newborn babe desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow, see, with a growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. See, you would be greatly disappointed if that baby that you have stayed a baby like that for the rest of his life. Well, I wonder how disappointed God may get with us sometimes because we fail to grow like we should. And one of the reasons we fail to grow is because we don't read and study the Bible like we should. See, don't pray like we should. See, I love you. I love you, but I'm telling you the truth. See, that's right. But oh, it denotes progress. It reminds me of the Apostle Paul when he said this. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for those things which are before. He said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He was no spring chicken when he said that. Furthermore, he was in prison when he said that. In prison, see. Reminds me of Dr. Lee Robertson. He used to pastor the Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He started a school. It was a great school back then. It's gone down now. I think it's over with now. I don't even think they have a school there. But anyway, coming back where we were, he lived to be 97 years old. Oh, he lived a long time, especially to be such a busy man. My, he was a busy man. But he, in the last few years of his life, you know, he wasn't a pastor. He went about preaching for different pastors, trying to help them. And this young pastor had him to come to his church. And one day when they were fellowshipping together, the young pastor said, Dr. Robertson, tell me about some of the things you've done. You know what the man said? And he was 90-something years old at the time that young man asked him this question. He said, let's don't talk about what we've done. Let's talk about what we're going to do. 90-something years old and still got goals. Still got plans. Oh, I love that. Amen. We don't want to retire. We want to refire. Amen. Get on fire and burn till Jesus comes. I'm no spring chicken neither. I'll be 70 years old in February, but I still pray to this day. I say, God, set me on fire and keep me on fire till Jesus comes. Woo! Amen. I love the fire, but I don't like that smoke. Amen. Yeah. Then I heard, who walked with God? What does it mean to walk with God? Thirdly, when did Enoch walk with God? He walked with God in difficult times. Difficult times. Notice what the Bible says in chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That sounds like reading America's Mail, don't it? Wicked. Then notice what the Bible says in verse 11 through 13. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Look at that phrase, filled with violence. And then the Bible says in verse 12, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. There it is again. To them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Twice. In that one passage, the Bible says that the whole earth was filled with violence. Yet Enoch and Noah walked with God. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. If there were people who walked with God back then, there'll be people who'll be walking with God when Jesus comes back. Hallelujah. God's grace is sufficient just to walk with God in these last days. Amen. But the whole earth, notice, was filled with violence. As it was, so shall it be. The whole earth will be filled with violence once again when Jesus comes back. And he must be coming soon because the earth is filled with violence. Every time you turn the news on, somebody's killed somebody. Beats all everything. Awful. And sometimes they kill several. Sometimes they go in the church, like they did down here in Charleston, and kill several people while they're trying to worship God. That's shame. Awful. Awful. You know what one congressman said? It's bothered me. One congressman said this. He said, the next step, or in other words, the next stop for the Christians in America is prison. You better get to praying. Better pray for God to send revival to the churches of America. If Jesus don't come soon, we can fasten our seatbelt. We're headed for trouble. But in spite of that, Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. And we can too, if we want to bad enough. Yes, we can too. Then I heard, this is the point I like. Why did Enoch walk with God? Why did Enoch walk with God? Look what the Bible says in verse 21, chapter 5. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. I want you to look at that preposition after. It didn't say before, it said after. Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah. And I think the reason why it says that is because God revealed something to Enoch. Methuselah, according to numerous Bible scholars and authors, means when he's gone, it shall be set. I have a house full of books. I love to try to read and study. I'm just an old country boy. But I like to try to learn. And I've got book after book after book that says Methuselah's name does mean when he's gone, it shall be set. Woo! And that's what God was saying. Enoch, you see that boy right there? You keep your eyes on him. Because when he dies, the flood's going to stop. Boy, I bet you he watched him like a hawk watching a sparrow from then on. Every time Methuselah got sick, Enoch probably thought, is this it? Is this it? If he dies, the flood's going to start. What if you had a child and God told you, name him Methuselah? And God said, when he dies, the rapture's going to take place and the tribulation, not the flood, but the tribulation is going to start. You keep your eyes right on him. Boy, if he came in late from school, you might start wringing your hands if you wasn't prepared to meet God. And if you think that interpretation, if you think that meaning of his name is far-fetched, then I want you to do some math. Let's do some math. I'm going to show you something. I want to show you that the flood came exactly when Methuselah died. Back up here now. Look at verse 25 in chapter 5. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. All right. How old was Methuselah when Lamech was born? 187. You got that figure down? 187. And you've already seen in verse 27 that Methuselah was 969 years old when he died. All right. Now go down to verse 28. And Lamech lived 182 years and begot a son, and he called his name Noah. All right. So, when Noah was born, Lamech was 182 years old. And when Lamech was born, Methuselah was 187 years old. So you had 187 and 182, and you've got what? You've got Methuselah, 369 years old when Noah was born. Now you watch this. Watch this. Genesis chapter 7, verse 6. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. Well, we've already seen that Methuselah was 369 years old when Noah was born, and the flood came when Noah was 600 years old. Add 600, 369, and what have you got? 969 years. That's exactly how long Methuselah lived. Woo! The day that Methuselah died, the flood came. And I'm telling you, you and I may not have a sign like that, but we do have a bunch of signs. I don't believe there's any signs for the rapture, but there's many signs for the second coming. And if many of the signs of the second coming are already obvious, then how near must be the rapture? Amen. Two of the most significant signs of the soon return of our Lord is the restoration of the nation of Israel and the reunification of Europe, which is the revived Roman Empire. Boy, them Jews are going home, glory. And I get excited about it when we just think about it. Because this Bible makes it clear and plain, when them Jews start going home, get ready, you're going home. God said that you're home. It's all through the Bible. It's in the Old Testament and the New Testament. If you doubt that, read Romans 11. Paul said, God hath not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Talking about the Jews. No, God's not through with the Jew. Read Revelation chapter 7. You got 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, 144,000 Jews saved in Revelation 7 alone. Then there'll probably be others saved from that. But you watch this. You're talking about something sick. There's roughly some 5.4 million Jews in Israel this evening. It'll be no problem, none whatsoever, for God to get 144,000 Jewish converts out of some 5.5 million Jews that's over there right now. Woo! Amen! When you see all these things, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen! Therefore, be also ready from such an hour as think not, Jesus said, the Son of Man cometh. Thank God, ready or not, he's coming! Amen! Washington can't stop him. No! Moscow can't stop him. Iran can't stop him. Like what the old black preacher S.M. Lockwood said, he's a great preacher. He said, when Jesus comes back, he said, ain't nobody going to impeach him and he ain't going to resign. Amen. Amen. Woo! Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Well, I heard him get on. Next of all, how did Enoch walk with God? Well, it's obvious from Hebrews chapter 11, that he walked by faith. He didn't walk by striving and struggling, trying, which we get into sometimes, get in all kinds of bondage. No, this man learned to rest in the Lord. That's something we need to learn, especially in these days. Man, we're living an uptight generation. Ooh. Number one, 1,000 teenagers attempt suicide every day. We consume some 24 tons of sleeping pills and tranquilizers, things of that nature in America alone every day. Sounds like we need to learn to rest in the Lord. See. But how do we walk with God? By faith. See, I turn back over here to Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says, 5 and 6, by faith. By faith then it was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that it pleased God, but without faith. Now he pleased God. But the Bible says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. We please God by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Paul said, the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. Faith. Trust in God. Boy, there's so much I'd like to say here, but it would take too much time. But my heart aches. My heart is burdened over the fact that so many of God's people don't study the Bible like they should. Because if you did, you'd find out that you have all kinds of resources by grace at that to walk with God. Did you know that God told Paul, Jesus told Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when he talked about that thorn of flesh, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. The Bible says, wherefore he giveth more grace. You know why the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Talking about that sin nature of the flesh now that we're all battle with. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not on the law, but on the grace. In other words, we're not on the law, which represents what we do, but on the grace, which represents what God does. Amen. On the law, you're on your own. Under grace, you got himself and all of his resources. And I want to share something with you about grace. Grace is more than just God's favorable attitude towards you and I. It's his fervent action on our part. And see, if we could just study the Bible enough and learn all this and get this down, and the Holy Spirit has to show it to us. Brain can't take it in. No, the Spirit of God's got to show you and I this. Then we can get up each morning and we can go sit in the swing maybe to start with before we reach for a Bible and pray and just relax a little bit and let him take over, because that's what grace does. Woo! Amen! Grace not only saves us from the penalty of sin and from the presence of sin, glorification, but right now saves us from the power of sin. Amen! You can't overcome that flesh in your own strength. That's what God's in you for. Amen. That's what Jesus is in there for. Amen. As F.B. Meyer said, it's the Christ life for the self life. Praise God. Jesus didn't come in to take a back seat. He came in to take over. He didn't come in to loaf. He came in to live. The Bible says, faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. He's in there to do it if we let him. Woo! Amen. It may be hard for Milton Taylor to read the Bible like you should and pray like you should and serve the Lord like you should, but it ain't hard for Jesus on the inside. Hey, do you think these are idle words when he said, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden, I give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, for you shall find rest on your souls. Here it is. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We say, boy, it's so hard to live the Christian life. Yeah, it is if you try to do it in your own strength. I knew a preacher way back years ago. I think he's still alive. Good man. And he said one day, he said, I was praying, oh God, please God, tell me the Holy Spirit, oh God, do this and that and other, oh God. And he said, it just seemed like Jesus said, hey, I'm in here. Hey, I'm in here. See, the Christian life is more of an incarnation than an imitation. See, we want to think, here's Jesus, I'm going to try to be like him. I'm going to try to be like him. See, and all the time, he's on the inside. saying, hey, if you'll just clear the decks and get out of the way, I'll show you what I can do. Woo! I'm telling you, he came in to live. He came in to live. Let him live, amen. Praise God. Let him live. Hallelujah. But see, it takes what Brother Kerrigan was talking about. We got to surrender. Let go. Let God give up. Let Jesus take over. Say, we're so busy trying to do it, when what we need to do is just surrender. Just say, God, if it's done, you'll have to do it. If it's done, you'll have to do it. I surrender all. Okay, I need to hurry and get on. What was the result? Then it walking with God. Then it being saved. He was translated that he should not see death. And some golden day break, Jesus is coming back. And we that are saved will be caught up, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Thank God this old corruptible of a body is going to put on incorruption. The Bible tells us this body is sown in weakness, but it's raised in power. Man, that'd be good. You read over there in the book of Genesis, we read it a moment about the curse that's upon this earth. God put a curse here. And then the Bible tells us in Revelation, and I'm done, says there'll be no more curse. Now, some of you can't appreciate that as much as some of us that was raised on a farm. If you have a farm, or if you've ever lived on a farm, worked on a farm, then you know that you're confronted with the curse about every day of your life. You go out there and there's Johnson grass trying to take the cotton, and all kinds of old crab grass and cockleburrs and sand spurs. And even this day, I get reminded of the curse a whole lot. I got reminded of the curse a lot this week. But I'm not preaching sometimes and not studying and praying sometimes. I still like to go out and cut a tree down one thing or another. It helps me keep me from going down. Get my age, you better stay active or you'll go down. And I was out grinding some stumps up Monday and Tuesday, and I got in them yellow jackets. They stung me Monday, and they wasn't satisfied to stung me on Tuesday. And I took off towards the truck, and they followed me. Really? Stung me on my ears, stung me on both arms, stung me on my leg, stung me on my hand. And I didn't run towards the truck saying, glory to God. No, I almost feel like cursing. No, not really. No, not really. But praise God. All that'll be gone one of these days. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Amen. Will you stand your feet? I'm just going to have a word of prayer with you and turn it over to Brother Phillips. Father, thank you for letting us get together like this. Thank you we still go to church, still have meetings and enjoy it at that. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your wonderful presence. Thank you for the reality of God. Father, thank you so much, God, for saving our souls. If there is one here lost, God, save that soul right now. Don't let anyone here go to hell. God, I pray for those, God, here that's already saved. God, help us to realize that the Christian life is an active life. It's a busy life. God, I remember James said, you show me your faith without your works, I'll show you my faith by my works. I think your faith works, God. God, if to live for Jesus till Jesus comes, in Jesus' name, continue blessing this meeting. Amen.